Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Margaret Paul. I'm a best-selling author, a relationship expert, and co-creator of the powerful self-healing inner bonding process, which you can take a look at innerbonding.com. Now, inner bonding actually self-heals anxiety and depression, guilt, shame, anger, aloneness, emptiness, addictions, relationship problems, and it may seem like one process can't do this, but actually the underlying cause of these issues is what I call self-abandonment, abandoning oneself physically, emotionally, spiritually, leads to all of these issues. And so when we learn to truly love ourselves on these levels, then we are able to move beyond these feelings and we're able to learn to share love with others, which is, in my experience, what life is really about. So I like to go over the inner bonding process with you. In inner bonding, there's two pathways. There's always two paths in life. And one is the earthly path of fear, and one is the spiritual path of love and courage. And each of these pathways come from two different intentions. And this is the basis of the inner bonding process. It's intention. And in any given moment, either your intention is to protect against pain with some form of controlling, avoidant, protective behavior, or your intention is to learn about what's loving to yourself and how to share your love with others. So everything follows from these intentions. Now, the problem is that all of us have been taught, have been programmed from the time we were little to protect against pain. Because when we were young, there's no way that we could handle the big pain of life. See, there's two kinds of feelings. There's the feelings that we cause, which we call in inner bonding the wounded feelings. And this is what I was talking about, the anger, the anxiety, the depression, guilt and shame and emptiness and aloneness and jealousy and envy. These are the feelings that we cause when we abandon ourselves. And we cause this when we're in our ego-wounded self, which is what we go into when our intention is to control and to avoid our feelings and to protect against pain. So we all learn this because as we were growing up, there were a lot of feelings of life, what I call the existential painful feelings of life, the loneliness, the grief, the heartbreak, the helplessness over others. And when we were little, we were way too small. Our bodies were way too small to manage the very big pain of these feelings. And for most of us, we did not have parents who role modeled how to manage these feelings. In fact, unfortunately, it may have been our parents that were causing a lot of those feelings or other caregivers. And so we had to protect against these feelings, and we learned many controlling ways to avoid these feelings. And these controlling ways, you know, for example, giving ourselves up or shutting down and withdrawing, putting a lid on, getting angry, resisting. These are all ways we learn to protect against giving ourselves up, being totally controlled by others, or being rejected by others. And sometimes we give ourselves up to avoid rejection, and then that might lead to being very resistant, might lead to procrastination. There's so many things that our protective behavior can lead to, which you're going to get to understand a little bit more about in this masterclass. So, of course, we needed to do this. Of course, we needed to learn to create this ego-wounded self as part of our survival. So we don't want to judge this part of ourselves. We want to learn about it so that we can heal the underlying false beliefs that we learned as a result of what we were going through. So I want to describe some terms that we use in inner bonding. Sometimes I'll use the term inner child, and this refers to our soul, our essence, our true self. It's not really an inner child. Sometimes we call it inner child because we know that we're responsible for taking care of a child, especially for being there for a child's feelings. But most people don't know they're responsible for their own feelings. And so sometimes saying that I've got an inner child inside will remind me to take responsibility for my feelings. Now, this part of us, this is the soul that lives within our body. Our soul is really big, really, really big energy. And a part of that energy is inside. And usually we feel it in our gut, our gut feelings. And a lot of our soul is all around us, which we can call our higher self. Now, the other part that I talked about is the wounded self, the ego wounded self, which I've already said is the part we created. That part, spirit, God, whatever you want to call a higher power, that created our soul self. That our soul is a spark of the divine that's within us, a spark of love that is what the divine is. But our wounded self is what we created as part of our survival. And that lives in the lower part of the brain called the amygdala. That's the fight or flight mechanism. And that's where all these fears and false beliefs are stored that get triggered when we get afraid, when we get triggered into a situation that is maybe triggering rejection, triggering engulfment, triggering the things that we experienced as a child that we learned to protect against. And so it's kind of automatic for many of us to go into an intention to control the minute these fears and false beliefs get triggered. And the power of the practice of inner bonding is that it develops new neural pathways in the higher brain for the intention to learn and take loving care of ourselves. And so another aspect that we talk about in inner bonding is what we call the loving adult. And the loving adult is who we are when we're connected with our feelings and we're connected with a higher source, our higher self, which is a source of love and a source of truth. Our wounded self knows nothing about the truth. It acts like it does. It's got a loud voice and it'll act like it has authority, but really it's like a child with a big megaphone. It really doesn't know anything. And it can keep us very, very off track. And so when we're operating out of that wounded self, our inner child lets us know that with the wounded feelings of anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, all of these wounded feelings are the way that the inner child is letting us know that we're abandoning ourselves. So this is very, very important. A lot of people don't realize that these feelings are very, very important to us. In fact, most of us have learned to avoid our feelings. That's the intention to control, is to avoid your feelings. We've either been taught we can't handle them or that they're bad, we shouldn't be feeling them. And so we've learned so many ways to avoid them. So in inner bonding, we talk about the inner child, we talk about the wounded self, we talk about the loving adult. The loving adult is who we are when we're open to learning and we're connected to our higher source, our higher self, our source of love and truth. And this is what we want to develop in the inner bonding process, is our loving adult. This is what the practice develops in terms of new neural pathways in the higher brain. Now, when our intention is to protect and avoid and control and not be there for our feelings, we've got basically four ways of abandoning ourselves. One of them is that many of us have learned to stay up in our head to avoid our feelings. Our feelings are in our body, not in our head. And so we've learned to stay up there in our head. I certainly did. I came, like many of you, I came from a dysfunctional family. I couldn't manage my feelings. I had two narcissistic parents. My mother was a rageaholic. And so, of course, I learned to stay in my head to avoid those feelings. But when we stay in our head, it's like if a child comes to you upset and you're just in a book or in your computer and not paying any attention, that child's going to feel rejected by you. So another way that we avoid our feelings is that we turn to various addictions. Addictions are a way to avoid our pain. And of course, we have many, many addictions in our society. We have, food, alcohol, drugs. We have the internet, sports, all kinds of things that we turn to avoid our feelings. Another major way is that we judge ourselves. Many of us had critical parents. I did. And I incorporated all those self-judgments about not being good enough into my wounded self. And that's what most of us did. We decided that the reason we weren't being loved is because we're not good enough, and we might have been told we were not good enough. And so we incorporate that into the wounded self. We tell ourselves that. Many of us treat ourselves the ways that we were treated when we were growing up. And we continue to abuse ourselves in the ways that we may have been abused. And this is what perpetuates the pain. And so it becomes extremely important to become aware of the ways that we abandon ourselves. Now, another way we abandon ourselves, this is so important in terms of relationships, is that we end up making other people responsible for our feelings. It's like if you had a child and you just said, well, I don't want to take care of this child. I'm going to try and find somebody else to adopt this child. And you're constantly trying to find somebody else to give you the attention and the validation and the approval and the love that you need. Well, obviously, that child's going to feel rejected by you. So every time we make somebody else responsible for whether or not we're okay, we're rejecting and abandoning ourselves. And all of these ways create these wounded feelings, the anxiety, depression, emptiness, aloneness, anger. That inner child is often angry at us for how we're treating ourselves, and then we project that anger out onto others. Usually when we get angry, we blame others. It's a projection of the anger at ourselves for the self-abandonment. So the intention of the wounded self, we're in our wounded self when our intention is to control. We're in our loving adult when our intention is to learn. And the intention of the loving adult is to get other people to make us okay. And the intention of the loving adult is to do that for ourselves, to learn to define our own intrinsic worth. And this is a big part of inner bonding, is learning how to connect with that higher source of guidance. And I'd like to tell you something about that right now. It took me a lot of years to understand how to have that connection. I really wanted to have at-will divine connection, and I studied all sorts of things in order to try and have that. But for so many years, it eluded me. Now, took me a while to connect the dots. When I was young, I was a sickly kid. And in my early 20s, I started to read about what creates health. And I read a lot of books and started to eat all organic food, all fresh organic food. Lived in Los Angeles at the time. There was one little tiny health food store there. And that's where I went. And I got a whole lot healthier, not all the way, because I was still emotionally abandoning myself. And that's a big part of health. And then I became a psychotherapist, and I practiced traditional psychotherapy for 17 years, and I was not happy with the result. I had a ton of my own therapy because of the dysfunction in my family and the unhappiness I was feeling and the anxiety I was feeling. And I just wasn't happy with myself and the therapy that I had had and what I was doing with my clients. And at that time, I asked for a process to come in that would really heal at a very deep level. And at that time, that's when I met Dr. Erica Chopich. She is the co-creator of Inner Bonding, and she had half the process, and I had half the process, so of course, we had to meet. And so we met, and we put together this amazing process, and I started to practice it, and that became life-changing for me. I realized how much I had been giving myself up. But the other thing that I realized about connecting with spirit is that it's about frequency, and that when our intention is to control, we bring our frequency down. Spirit exists at a higher frequency than we do. And so in order to connect with spirit, we need to raise our frequency. And I discovered that there's two things that are necessary. One is we have to keep the frequency of our body pretty high, which means that we can't be eating junk food. We can't be, you know, drinking a lot and drinking a lot of coffee and eating sugar and processed foods. That lowers our frequency. And it's the intention to learn about loving ourselves and sharing ourselves, sharing our love with others, that raises the frequency. So as I started to practice inner bonding and realized that when I moved into the intention to learn, suddenly I was able to connect with that higher source. So I thought, oh, wow, this is fantastic. I'm just going to tell my clients about this, and they're going to be able to connect with their higher guidance. Well, it didn't quite work that way. So I didn't understand it because it became so easy for me at that point. And then I finally realized they were not eating well. They were not eating the way that I was. And so even though they moved into the intention to learn, they were still not at a high enough frequency because they were eating the sugar and drinking alcohol, a lot of alcohol, or smoking cigarettes or whatever. There's a lot of things that can lower the frequency. Well, now when people are willing to be in that intention to learn about love and to eat well, they find that they can actually easily connect to that source of higher guidance. And that actually changes everything, because then you know that you're not alone. You know you're being watched out for. I can't tell you how many times my guidance has actually saved my life. My little wounded self wouldn't know anything about what's about to happen, whereas my guidance can inform me about what to do and how to take care of myself. So now I live my life listening to my guidance throughout the day, and I do my work this way. When I work with people, I am hearing that guidance coming through all the time to help me know how to help people. It's such a different way to live. But at that time when I was starting to practice inner bonding, there were two major decisions that I had to make that were actually life-changing for me, along with eating well and being open to learning. I had to decide that I was willing to be hurt. I mean, I had been hurt so many times, we all have, but we have this belief that, oh my God, if I get hurt, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna go crazy. Well, I realized, no, that's not true, that I'd been hurt so many times and I could handle it. And that in order to take loving care of myself, I was a big caretaker. I was taking care of everybody else. And I knew that in order to start to love myself, I had to be willing to get hurt, because I likely would. If I stopped caretaking people, they might be mad. They probably wouldn't like it, which is exactly what happened. So I had to be willing to be hurt. And I had to be willing to lose others rather than lose myself. I had been so willing to lose myself in order to try and have control over keeping others' love. And it wasn't working. At that point, I was actually quite ill. I was actually life-threateningly ill. I didn't know why, because I was eating so well. And when I made those decisions, when I started to practice inner bonding, and I started to practice learning to take loving care of myself, I got so incredibly healthy. And today, many years later, I still retain that high level of health and vitality, and I'm so grateful for that. And you can have that too. So I'd like to go through with you the steps of inner bonding. You see, here's the thing. When fear comes up, most people will turn to their controlling addictive behaviors. And that will always lead to all those wounded feelings and to problems in the relationship. Because when we're abandoning ourselves, we're going to try and control other people. Nobody likes to be controlled. And so it's going to create problems. And not only that, but we attract people at our common level of self-abandonment or our common level of self-love. So if you're abandoning yourself and you're wanting somebody else to take care of you and make you feel like you're okay and complete you, you're going to attract somebody else who wants that from you. And we can't actually give that to each other. We can love each other, but if we're abandoning ourselves, that love feels good for the moment, like sugar might, but it doesn't last. If we're abandoning ourselves, we're going to continue to treat ourselves badly. We're going to continue to try and control others. We're going to suffer all the consequences, all the wounded feelings, the relationship problems, the addictions that we suffer when we abandon ourselves. So I'd like to go through the six steps of inner bonding with you, and then I'm going to give you an experience in that process. So the first step of inner bonding is that you have to be willing to feel your feelings. You have to be willing to feel your painful feelings if there's pain in there. Like I said, most of us have been taught to move away from our feelings rather than move towards them. And so it becomes vitally important that you recognize that your feelings have important information for you, that they're always informing you of whether or not you're loving yourself or abandoning yourself. They're informing you of whether others are being loving or unloving. We need to be with these feelings. So step one means learning to get present in your body, learning to move out of mind focus and into body focus, and to want responsibility for your feelings, to want to learn about what you're doing that may be causing all these wounded feelings, and to learn to manage the existential painful feelings of life, the loneliness, the grief, the heartbreak, the helplessness over others. We have to learn to manage that, or we're going to continue to avoid our feelings, because those are the feelings that we couldn't handle as children. Those are the feelings we learn to avoid. So it took me quite a while to go from my head to my heart and soul. I was very tuned into others' feelings, but not at all tuned into my own. So it's a practice. It's a mindfulness practice. And it starts with breathing, with being mindful of your breath and letting your breath take you in. And we'll be doing that in a little bit. And you'll see how being mindful of your breath can take you from mind focus into body focus. So step one is the willingness to feel your feelings and get present inside your body with your feelings, the willingness to take responsibility for them. Step two is we move into our heart and we open to learning. We open to learning about, it's not about the lottery numbers, we're opening to learning about what we're telling ourselves, how we're treating ourselves, what we're doing or not doing that may be causing us pain. We're open to learning about the false beliefs in our wounded self that we've absorbed, our programming. We're open to learning about what's true and what would be loving to us. And once we open to learning, then we open to a higher part of ourselves, and we invite the love and compassion. Now, if you're not connected to whatever that is for you, God, Spirit, the universe, it's helpful to imagine an older, wiser part of you, like your higher self, an ancient part of you that you can turn to at any time, that's so loving and so powerful and so wise. And so in step two, we just simply invite that love and compassion into our heart by saying, I invite your love and compassion into my heart. And so that's what we do. We invite that that part of us into our heart and breathing that in. And it's important in step two that you are feeling compassionate, that you're feeling curious, that you really want to know how you're treating yourself, what you're telling yourself that may be causing any pain. So in step three, that's a dialogue process. And we're going inside and we're asking the feelings. Let's say that you go inside and you're feeling anxious or depressed. And you go inside and you say, what am I telling you? How am I treating you? What am I doing or not doing that's causing you to feel this way? And you really want to know. You're really curious. You really want to know. And then you go inside and you let the answer come from inside. You let the answer come from the feelings. Your feelings will talk to you. That inner child will talk to you when he or she feels safe to do so. If you've been abandoning yourself for a long time, you might not get answers right away. But if you start to practice really being present with your feelings, showing up for yourself in some way with compassion, then eventually those feelings will begin to talk to you. So let's say that my inner child says, well, I'm anxious because you're judging me. You're putting so much pressure on me to be perfect and do everything right and not make any mistakes. So if that's what I'm telling myself, then I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to go into the wounded part of myself, because that's the part that's judging and putting pressure on me. And I'm going to say, you know, there must be a really good reason that you're doing this. What do you hope to gain? What's the belief that's going to happen if you're judging and putting pressure on us? And that part might say, well, I need to get you to do everything right, because then we'll get approval. I need to motivate you. You're not going to be motivated if I don't put pressure on you. You're just going to sit on the couch all day and do nothing. So, and you know, we've done pretty well, and we've done pretty well because of me, because I've been judging you and I've been pressuring you. So there's all kinds of beliefs about that you might think are true, but actually are huge false beliefs. And if you've done really well in life, they're probably in spite of those, in spite of the judgment and the pressure, rather than because of it. Because, like, if you think of a child in school, they learn much better when they feel safe than when they feel pressured. And that's the same with us. We perform much better when we're open, when we're connected, when we're bringing through love and truth and able to share what we know rather than trying to control others. So once we understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, the beliefs, and we might want to look into the past to see where did we get these beliefs. Then in step four, we open to learning with our higher guidance, and we're asking two questions. What is the truth about any of the false beliefs that I've uncovered? And we open and we just see if we can just open to hearing what truth might be. Now, you might think you're making it up. It might feel that way. But if you listen after a while, you're going to realize that you're actually hearing the truth. And the other question is, what's the loving action? What would be loving to me right now? So, for example, in this situation, my higher guidance might say, judging yourself just makes you feel anxious. And when you feel anxious, you procrastinate, you resist, you shut down, you don't like feeling anxious. You might like watch too much TV or eat too much. It really is not working well. My guidance might say about loving action to just start to be aware of those self-judgments, be aware of that pressure, be aware of how that's making me feel. Lots of times when with my clients, I ask them, what does their guidance say about what would be loving? One of the first things is that they say, well, that little girl or boy in me needs to be held. And so then I suggest they get a doll or bear or stuffed animal or a pillow and just bring some love. It's amazing what happens when you just hold that part of you and bring some love into yourself. It's extremely comforting. And right away, people start to relax when they do that. Now, loving actions can be so many different things depending upon the situation. In my life, I'm all day long at this point saying, well, what's loving to me now? What's loving to me now? And then in step five, we take that loving action. We do whatever it is we've been told to do, because without action, nothing's going to change. You know, it's like a child comes to you and says, I'm hungry. And you say, well, thank you for sharing. And you don't give the child food. It's not going to matter. It's not going to do anything. And so in step five, we take the action of what we've been guided to do by our higher guidance. Then we go to step six. And step six is we go back into our feelings. We're now evaluating. How do I feel as a result of this action that I've taken? If I have indeed taken a loving action, I'm going to feel relief. I'm going to feel relief as a result of taking that action. If I don't feel that, I'm going to go back and look for another action to take. So that's the process when we're feeling the wounded feelings, like I said, the anxiety, the depression, guilt, shame, anger, aloneness, emptiness, jealousy, envy, those kinds of feelings. Those are the feelings we're causing. Now, sometimes we feel the existential pain of life. These are the feelings that we couldn't manage when we were little. And so we grow up thinking we have to not feel those feelings. We can't manage them. But really, as adults, it's not that hard to learn to manage the pain of life. It's just that when we avoid them, it makes everything so much harder. So, for example, if let's say that somebody yells at you and it hurts you. One of the things that's really, really important to understand is that there's two kinds of hurt. There's hurt feelings and there's hurt heart. Hurt feelings come from how we treat ourselves. Like if somebody yells at me and I judge myself and I say, oh, I'm so stupid. It's my fault that they're feeling bad. I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to feel hurt inside. My inner child's going to feel really bad because I'm judging her. But if I don't take it personally, if I don't say it's my fault, because it's never my fault how somebody else acts. No matter what I've done, I don't cause other people to behave the way that they do. I don't cause other people to be unloving to me. So if somebody is being unloving to me, it's going to hurt my heart. It always hurts my heart when people are unloving. Even if I don't know them, it hurts my heart. Just unloving behavior doesn't feel good. And so I'm going to put my hands on my heart, which stimulates oxytocin and will right away make me feel better. And I'm going to say, yeah, that sure doesn't feel good. That makes us feel some heartache. That makes us feel some loneliness. We can't connect to that person. And I'm going to be honest with myself that I'm helpless over that person. And helplessness over others and situations is a very hard feeling to feel. As we were growing up, we did anything to avoid that feeling of helplessness. And you might still be doing that. And so I'm going to say, yes, we're helpless over them. We can't control them. But I'm here. And I love you, and I'm going to stay with you until this feeling moves through. I'm not going to let it get stuck. And I stay with it until it moves through, and then I go to my higher guidance and say, what is there for me to learn about this? Now, some of these very painful existential feelings are from like grief over the loss of a loved one. It's actually the same process. It's just going to happen over and over and over again. Every time grief comes up, you get present. You name it. Oh, honey, I know that this is so painful. Your heart is broken. And we do anything to get this person back. And we're so helpless over what happened. And I'm here for you. I love you. And I'm going to stay with you. And we stay with it until the feeling gets released. And we ask if there's any learning that we need from our higher guide. So that's very briefly the way that we handle the deeper existential pain of life. The first process, the six steps of inner bonding, is what we do most of the time, because most of the time it's not about somebody else and how they're treating us, it's how we're treating ourselves. And by the way, people tend to treat us the way we treat ourselves. And so if you're abandoning yourself and treating yourself badly and judging yourself, it's likely that's what's going to happen with other people. You would be surprised that when you start to learn to love yourself, how differently people start to treat you. And now I want to take you through a little process of inner bonding, just the first few steps of inner bonding. Get comfortable. Take a few deep breaths, mindful breaths, which means that you're putting your mind on your breath as it goes in and out of your body. And as you breathe in, scan your body for any physical sensations. Our feelings tend to show up physically. Like if you feel anxious, you might feel some tension. If you feel depressed, you might feel some numbness or emptiness inside. If you feel angry, you might feel like a tightness in your chest or your jaw. So feelings show up physically. You want to tune in and see what's happening in your body on the physical level. And you don't necessarily have to name the feelings. Just get present inside your body and imagine that you're sitting with a child who's got some stress going on or some numbness, something other than peace. Anytime we feel anything other than peace and fullness inside, that's when we do inner bonding. So tune in, get present, just like you would be with a child who you loved. And see if you can just be kind, moving towards the feelings, not away from them, being with them, sitting with them. You might notice that as soon as you really get present with your feelings, you might start to feel a little bit better. And see if you can make a decision that you want responsibility for your feelings, just for now. Doesn't have to be a permanent decision, but just for this process. See if you can make that decision, that you want to learn to take responsibility for your feelings. And breathe into your heart and open to learning. Open to learning about how you're treating yourself, what you're telling yourself, what you're doing or not doing that's causing something other than peace and other than fullness inside. And imagine that higher power, that higher, older part of yourself. And just say, I invite your love and compassion into my heart. And breathe that in. Step two is where we create the loving adult self. Remember, the loving adult is who we are when we're open to learning and connected with our higher source of love and truth, our higher source of wisdom. And now ask the feeling part of you, what am I telling you? How am I treating you? What am I doing or not doing that's making you feel something other than peace inside? And then go inside and let the answer come from inside. You don't want the answer to come from your mind. You want it to come from inside your body. If you're not used to being with your feelings, you might not hear anything. That's okay. Don't judge yourself for it. This is just a little bit of practice. But for example, if I go inside and I'm feeling empty or numb, and I ask my inner child, what am I doing? What am I telling you? How am I treating you? she might say, well, you never listened to me. You just kind of put a lid on me. It's like it's not okay to be me. I'm not allowed to feel what I feel. I'm not allowed to be who I am. So, of course, I just numb out. I feel like I'm in a cage. You don't see me. You don't care about me. That's just an example. So just see if your inner child has anything he or she wants to tell you. And of course, you can do this at any time. I'm just giving you a little experience in this. And again, be okay if there's no information, no pressure, no judgment. But if you get some information, go a little deeper. Ask that wounded part of you. You know, there must be a good reason you're treating the inner child this way. I'd like to understand where this is coming from. What do you hope for? What are you trying to control or avoid or protect against? Those are the main reasons we ask ourselves when we're operating from that ego-wounded part. What are we trying to control or avoid or protect against with any of the self-abandoning behaviors? And see if you can tune into that. Generally, the wounded self is young. Maybe 2, or maybe 5, or 10, or could be an adolescent. It's whatever age you absorbed a particular false belief or you adopted a particular addiction. So there's many ages inside of that wounded part of us who can be abandoning us. And sometimes it helps to tune into the age, because sometimes that helps to remember what was going on at that time. Like there may be an incident where you got humiliated for speaking up and being yourself, and after that you got real silent. It's not safe to speak up and be myself. Many of us experienced major trauma, but even minor trauma, that had a huge effect on us, caused us to shut down, to disconnect, to judge ourselves, to stop listening to our inner knowing. And that's what you want to start to tune into right now. See if any memory comes up. See if you can connect any way you're treating yourself with how you were treated or how your parents treated themselves. Our wounded self absorbs from our parents or other caregivers how they treated us, but also how they treated themselves. So you want to look at the role modeling that you got. The role modeling that you absorbed that is now part of your wounded self. I remember thinking when I was a child that I'm never going to be like my parents. But of course, my wounded self turned out to be exactly like them. And I treated myself the way they treated me and the way they treated themselves. And that's what we need to heal. And inner bonding is a fabulous process for healing. Because next you would go to your higher guidance, you would learn to connect, you would be asking what's true about these false limiting beliefs, you would be asking what's loving to me. And then in step 5, you'd be taking the loving action. And then you would tune in and see how you feel. And what heals the wounded self, what heals the false beliefs, is taking the loving action based on the truth. The more you do this, the more you will create those new neural pathways in your higher brain for the loving adult. The more you do that, the more automatic it will become to operate from what's true and what's loving, rather than from the programs, the false beliefs of the wounded self. Now, all of you can learn this. Anybody who really wants to learn this process can learn it. I have a free ebook for you. You can see the link. The 6 Secrets to Profound Self-Love and Joyous Connection. This book is about inner bonding. It was channeled from my higher guidance, and it will certainly help you to begin to learn the inner bonding process. Now, I also have a course coming up in June. I will be doing an 8-week virtual course to teach the inner bonding process. And I do hope you join me. This course is called The Power to Joyfully Love Your Life, the Revolutionary Inner Bonding Process for Healing, Freedom, and Vibrant Love. You can learn this in this course. It's a very, very powerful course where I'll be doing some teaching each week. And then I'll be working with some people with the inner bonding process. And it's so powerful to watch this, because that's when you really get what's happening with inner bonding. And I love working with people. So each time, each week, I'll be working with some people, and you're going to get the benefit of their work. It's so empowering to witness other people doing the work, because we all identify. Everybody's got very, very similar issues. So when you see me working with others, and maybe with you, if you want to do that, you're going to gain so much in terms of learning and inner and understanding the inner bonding process. So I hope I see you there. Sending all of you my love and blessings. And I look forward to meeting you at some point.